Killer Keller podcast. Killer Keller official.com.
THTC, the UK's leading ethical streetwear label. Organically grown and ethically built garments from hemp, organic cotton, and other sustainable materials. 2019 is their 20th anniversary year. Join me with THTC as a Killer Keller podcast sponsor celebrating music, social activism, hemp, and street culture. THTC, eco-fashion redefined since 1999.
Beatbox created.
Killer Keller.
We're here to talk about world music and street culture.
Killer Keller Podcast.
Yes, people, this is the Killer Keller Podcast, live and direct, Central London. I sent you as you need to be. Big shout out to Graffiti Kings, of course, each and every time. Don't forget to share, spread the love. Love is love, all right? Tell a friend to tell a friend. We're talking music and street culture artists, the artists around here. With the power invested in us, we got the Zoom going on. We are doing it proper. Yeah, from one end of London to another, I think that's the vibe right here. An artist that I can only define, I mean, you know, versatility in lyrics, but more so just in attitude, style, from singing to rap and to patois. You like, you name it, she's got it. Taking it to them from one killer to another. Alakaya Harley, how are you?
Hey, hi, I'm very, very blessed. How are you? Killer,
I'm
killer.
Good, I'm good, baby girl. It's great to have you on, man. I mean, it's a crazy time, but you know, zooming it as we do, you get the opportunity to have a good chat, right?
Exactly.
What's been going on? What are you doing? What are you doing? Where are you and who's with you?
Well, I'm currently at home by myself. And what's been going on? I've moved to the times. I've moved to the times, you know, still doing music, still, the EP's finished, EP coming soon. And you know, doing what we can do, which is obviously visual, you know, by social media performances.
This whole thing is going on.
Yeah, still recording music. I've had to, like, obviously sometimes I've recorded at home and sent it off. Here they are still done studio. The times have changed, but we're moving with the times, you know. And social media is there, so we're still connected with fans.
Yeah, you know what? I think for a lot of people, it's just a case of tweaking, though, ever so slightly tweaking and adjusting, moving into the lane. You know, it just takes a little bit longer to suss out a few technical bits, but we got there, right?
Yeah.
You were saying earlier that you've certainly done enough podcasts to, you know, hone your craft.
Oh no! I didn't actually say that. I was saying I've done better, though. It's the thing now. I've done so much, honestly. Like, that's what I'm saying. You just adapt to it. It's not. It don't feel that hard now in terms on work. Like, in terms of, like, the whole change and COVID. Obviously, there's a change, but I feel like right now I might have adapted. Yeah. How do you feel?
I feel like a lot of times, like, when I think back to what I was doing before, like, it takes, like, a worldly thing to make you stand on edge and say, all right, you know what? I'm going to grab this with both horns and try something different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. I think that's what it is, yeah. I feel like it'll never go back exactly the same. But what does, you know what I mean? You move with the times.
Is that the sort of thing that you want to be doing for? We want to be doing forever. Do you know what I mean?
What? These?
No, just thinking more like before.
We'll be back.
Huh?
We'll be back. Soon, we'll be back. We'll be back. We'll see each other.
Yeah. For real. But I mean, from a point of view, I totally get you. But I'm thinking from a point of view of, like, was what we were doing before, was it really matching to our ambitions? Like, now we're trying to work, we're working within our restrictions now, and now it's opening back up to where it was. Like you say, it's only a matter of time before things realign. But you come away with so much more skill set, right?
That's so true. No, you hit the nail on the head. I think I've actually just pre-did, because I feel like everyone, creativity has played a lot of parts. So even presenters' creativities, I think they have to push. You can't be no boring 1-2-2-2 question no more if you're getting an interview. I'm going for all of that now. Yeah, you're right.
Are you going through it now? Well, we're going to switch that one out right now. this is a different kind of podcast. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but as you don't know, Alakaya, she is killing it right now, doing the whole thing. Take It to Them is the first intro in my mind to a more commercial. Like, I don't know, you're kind of just breaking it out there. You know, Killer and Gold, that they were much more palatable from a One Extra Represent, that kind of angle. But this one, just for me, the new joint, just for me, feels like, actually, you know what? Your versatility on the verses combined with just the more catchiness of it, I think it hits
Which one we took? Take It to Them.
Yeah, take it to them, yeah.
Oh, thank you. Wait, are you saying take it to them is more commercial or less commercial?
I think it's more commercial.
Then Killer.
Yeah, I do. Well, yeah, but Killer was your first one. That was an intro, right? You've got to go hard on your intro tune, right? That's
well, Gold, then Killer. But I think everyone says a different thing, you know. I'm just over here just making the music, and I'm just like, you know what? As long as you love it, we move. Because everyone
we're all on the phone trying to confuse you. That's what we're doing. We're going,
I don't know. So as long as you enjoyed it,
I love the fact that the versatility on this particular tune is on point. Like, it's really hard for some people, like, it's almost like it's a given. Like, if you're a great artist, then of course you're going to have great bars. Of course you're going to have great vocals. You're going to have a good set of chords on you. But it's a totally different game when you come into an artist and you just feel like, yo, like, she's the complete package. Isn't anybody else seeing this? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you must have heard this like a billion times, for real.
Everything's in a different way, but I still appreciate it and I'm grateful.
What's the process? What's the process in the studio for this to happen?
I get asked this question all the time, you know. It's different every single time. I don't think any studio session is exactly the same. And I don't try to make it exactly the same either. I kind of just follow the buzz, however I feel at that time. Sometimes I might pop out and I might say, let's go C-sharp and let's go for something here and go back to the studio or go back to, and just not necessarily stay in that. But I kind of go with the vibe. Sometimes this, I might want to feel like I'm at the party, so I might get a Magnum. You know what I'm trying to say? Sometimes it's just that I'm at home and I've got the vibe and I'm like, you know, I'm going to go away. See you in a second. And I step aside and this is a job. But at the same time, I love it. Like, I could genuinely feel like it's time now and I'm going to go right. Yeah, so.
Yo, I think I've just like found a new level of respect for you, for ghosting people. Like, yeah, I've got to go see that. No, I'm busy.
With my friends, no, listen, if there's, I think the most thing that people hear come out of my mouth is, I've got my headphones in, yeah? I can't hear you. I've got my headphones in, yeah? I can't hear you. If you're talking, you know, that's my thing.
That's cold.
No matter where I am.
That's cold,
it's so
though.
Funny, though. It's so funny. And I move like a fiend as well. They'll literally be looking, look at her. Like my friend, they're like, because I got a girl. Yeah.
Who does she think she is?
I love it so much. Trust me.
We're about south for you. You're South River, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm south. I've always lived in the south. I live in Purley now, like far side Purley Croydon. Yeah, I live in Purley Croydon and Fort Heath. Let's be real.
No, I know the area. Yeah. It's London. It's a nice area. I used to live. To get down there, I'm originally like a Crawley Sussex guy, right? Yeah. So I would know that. I know that area, the Croydon area, and that relatively well. Yeah. You know. Graffiti geographics as well, things like that, you know. So, you know, I get the vibe. And it also was like the spot back in the day, I'll say back in the day, probably still is to a degree, where there was a lot of media, like a lot of record labels and stuff used to be around that area, like a lot of PR companies and stuff like that.
Not that, no. I didn't know PRS is in Streatham.
No, this is good. This is good. I'm trying to get a mental picture of you 360. You know what I mean? Did you grow up around there? Was this like a, you know, was this a departure from another location? What was your upbringing?
You want depth? Because I can do in depth.
I want depth.
Well, I was born in Kingston 11, Jamaica, Cutburn Pen. And I came here when I was five. When we first came here, we moved to Peckham. I lived on Queens Road, Peckham. I think a lot of people know where Queens Road, Peckham is.
Hold tight.
And then when I was around about, I remember, when are you going to year two? How old are you roughly? Can't remember now. But when I went into year two, we moved to like Brockwell Park, Rosendale Road, and I went to Rosendale Primary School. And then from there, we moved to Thorny. And then from Thorny, now I'm a grown-ass woman, just going around the place and dabbling in the area for what? Yeah, I'm trying to say we're here now. Basically, that's the moving process. And in all of this, I was always loving music from the beginning. So that's my earliest memory of loving music is before I came here. And before I came here, I would have been younger than five. So
what were you
and I was like four and stuff. I love Bridgie Banton. I love Bridgie Banton. Lover of Lady Saw. So that's the music I was listening to at the time. Wow. As a little girl. dance hall. Yeah, all here for it. And then Beyonce, big Destiny Child lover. Absolutely adored Beyonce. Love Destiny Child and Collective.
Cool. But
absolutely pinnacle with Beyonce. And I really just followed her journey and watched her work with. So that was a big inspiration for me as well. Yeah.
Man, listen, I'm telling you this for nothing.
That's like, feeling bare.
I know you're going to feel me when I say this, but when Crazy in Love dropped, oh my fucking God.
Yeah. Oh, we can swear on here.
Yeah, sorry. Did that surprise you?
No, it really.
I don't know. Maybe you too. You don't want to swear. Maybe swearing's not the... You know what I mean?
You know what, yeah? Talk about swearing, actually. At one point, I didn't want to swear my songs. It wasn't that I didn't want to swear my songs. I said, I'm not gonna. So, like, with Gold and stuff like that, and Killer, if you've noticed, I wasn't swearing. Like, swearing? I gave myself leeway for words like shit. Mm. I said I weren't going to say the N word. And it wasn't, my reason was because I wanted to not feel. I didn't want to feel. I realized after, when I was a rapper, like when I was rapping as young, I realized it was so easy to slap all these swear words and everything around. So actually I wasn't swearing. But now, here and there, if I want to express myself, I'll say what I like.
Yes, you say what you like. You know what? I value you saying that in a sense, because when I think of like the way that you've delivered recently, there's an aggression to it, right? And now you say that you haven't sworn in it. I was actually surprised. I was like, maybe you have here or there, like you say, you know, under the radar. Yeah. But because you've got such an aggression to
also
your...
Also recently now that...
Yeah. But you've got an aggression to your thing. So can you imagine, like, if you started hurling that kind of vocabulary at people whilst being aggressive?
Yeah, it would be a bit... Well, I mean, that's going to be a really good diss track. Let's be very clear. Let's be very, very clear. It's so funny that a lot of the times I do actually get DJs saying, hey, can we get a clean edit? And I'm like, hey, the song's clean. And they're like, hey, thank you. Literally all the time with certain songs. But yeah, you're right though. Sometimes the aggression, you already think I've cussed like a million swear words on tutus. I only said a calm little shit.
Your lyrics are extremely suggestive, and I think that, you know, that it conceptualizes each tune, right? You know, the way in which you convey that across. And that's, I think that's what it is. Like, look, female equivocals. Like, was it Nicki Minaj on Monster? Or the Kanye West tune Monster? I think it was Nicki. She has this way in a very similar, but you feel so much more well-versed. You know,
I love Nicki, by the way.
Going on, but,
like,
but,
I fully get what you mean.
Do you get what I'm saying?
That, she has this way of like, and when you say about Monster, Rush talks about that as well. I don't know if you spoke to Rush, my tour manager, Rush, my amazing Rush. She says that all the time on that Monster verse. Mad. I think that's my favorite verse. Right?
Me too. I think I would say it's in the top five verses of all time.
My favorite verse from her. My favorite verse from her. And if not, there's a song on her first ever. The first one I heard, a mixtape back in the day. Like a really slow, like sad song, and I love that song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like me some Nicki. What other people? What other influences you got, girl? What other ones?
Lay it a song and put your pants on and Beyonce.
Still the B.
I think those are my tops. My mother.
Uh huh.
There's quite a few people. Whenever it's a different interview, there's different names, but they're barely all the same.
But that's an artist, right? You kind of go with ebbs and flows of the day. One minute you're just listening to this sort of genre, this sort of artist, this sort of voice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't know one thing. There ain't no one thing that you stick to and you're just like, yeah, that's my influence. It's normally the things that get you off when you're younger. Those are really the influences.
Yeah, I think now I'll just go off of what I feel that moment. Yeah, because sometimes I'll be forgetting.
Yeah.
And quite a lot of people influence me. I felt not so much. Yeah, at different times, isn't it? For different little things. It's not always for one specific thing. It's always,
And it's not normally, it's not just for music. It could be like a painting or it could be a movie.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's the way it goes. Do you have other people in the room when you're working out in the studio? When you're doing your thing in the studio, are you there with other people? What's the setting? What's the ambience?
Different every single time. Sometimes there's people in there. Sometimes there's not. Sometimes just me and my engineer.
Mm.
It's all different.
Mm. You have like special lights and shit.
Yeah, I actually do, and I like, so even if, when I'm actually here in my house now, but I want to get some LED ones, but I've got these little pepper ones that, yeah, but anyway, we're going on. The point is, yes, I do have lights. Yes, I do like lights.
You can get those ones with the special controllers and stuff now, can't you?
Yeah, that's the one I want to go get, because obviously I've got, in every studio I go to, they have those though, and I need to get that one of my house. But yeah, so I usually go for the red light, so I usually have like the room red, but then recently I've been having the room blue recently. Yeah, I'm a recent thing, and I've been kind of liking it. So, but yeah, usually I could play around. I like to change the mood. So I feel like I didn't know that before. Like, if you had told me this like prior, before 2017, that I wouldn't even bother by setting a mood. I would. But it's more so the last few years that I've realized. Sometimes it's got to be that. Sometimes you got to get a verse done, and it's like, okay, cool. I've got to have my set thing that I do.
I'm with you. I was told once that the color purple. Like a maroon, you know what I mean? Like a reddy purple. That's a suggestive it's a stimulant for the artistic mind, apparently.
Serious.
Yeah. And apparently, brown.
That might be the reason for
a lot
of things.
Yeah, man. See, a fountain of knowledge over here at the Killer Cat podcast. Come on.
Oh, come on. Somebody give a clap. The way you said it. You said there was a clap
moving ago. Yeah, just, I'll tell you what, I'll get one of them buttons, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I feel like...
Foghorn, shit like that. and apparently brown is a comfort colour. So, you know, when you go into people's houses, it's like the bedroom's always brown or something. You know what I mean?
Brown.
What's your bedroom like? What colour is it?
Like the walls.
Yeah. Well, they're white, like right?
Yeah, it's like a white, but like an off-white, but yeah. But I think I'm gonna change. I'll tell you when I'm gonna move. But I want to do everything pink anyway. So then I'm just like, what color is that?
You sound like the kind of person, right, that cannot settle in one place.
I deeped it. I can't. I think I can, but what when I do and the place that I do settle, I think I always be on the go doing it as a musician. But I think it has to be big. So it's like I go from here, big. Not know from one end to the next. I feel like that's what I'm working at.
But why is that? Where does that derive from? Where does this kind of nomadic traveling, I'm not going to stop till I'm settled, where does that come from?
Do you mean in terms of the drive or just wanting that?
Maybe it is a combination of drive, but there's also, I think with every artist, there's this burning desire to keep moving at all costs, right?
I'd hope so.
So maybe that comes with not wanting to settle in a house for too long and shit like that.
Oh, no, I think that's not even what it is for me, why I want to settle. It's because I realised, I think, that I don't like it for my creative.
Yeah.
I know I need space. It's not necessarily I need to even move about. I think I just need space. So I know sometimes I have safe places, and no matter where I am, If I come to a different, if you're in a different country and I come to a different country and I'm there for a week, I'm going to find a safe spot. When I say a safe spot, it might be a room, it might be a section, it might be a place, but there's going to be a thing. When I was living at home with parents, it was the toilet upstairs and then it was the toilet downstairs and then it was the living room table. Sounds random, but it's specific places that I write and create. Sometimes that gets boring in that one spot. So that's what I mean by like... the space. I need a few of those in one yard.
Solitude.
It's what works. But
people have those things. I mean, not so much described as safe spaces, but when you're creative, it's almost like you need a level of force field around you just so that you're familiarized with everything and you can have your own time.
I don't know, I feel like I just need space.
Yeah, just spaces. Spaces. Yeah. And so you want you're gonna have the big the big mansion and stuff like that. This is the
ideally that is what we're working at, because I feel like I need to have a room with nothing in it but a bed to sleep on, the wardrobe with nothing in it but perfumes, this, do you know what I'm gonna say, and then a whole, and just space. I just want to have space. Yeah, I just want to feel like everything's in one place and just create forever in this one place.
Is it a minimalistic lifestyle you want to achieve?
Minimalistic. Once I've put everything in one place, is it going to be minimalistic? Yeah, I think it probably will be, you know.
You have to.
It might be.
clutter is the clutter in the mind as well, isn't it? It's just organized confusion just ain't enough, is it? I'm not in it. I'm the same.
We'll
I mean, mine's an empire of sorts, but it's something that's been created over a period of time. You do catch a lot of stuff. You pick up a lot of stuff in time, don't you?
Yeah.
Stuff you don't need.
Yeah.
I think as an artist, if you were to go into like your laptop right now and go through all the songs that you've ever created, if you had to put them in an equivocal of a room, that shit would just be a fucking heap of mess. But because it's up in the air, it's just audio, you can kind of get away with it a little bit more to a point.
True. Actually, now that you've said that, you made my brain tick something, you know, and I'm going to do it. I am going
to
collate all the songs.
Yeah,
on my laptop, from like my other, like put stuff on my other hard drive, I've got stuff from when I was really, really young. Like
how young?
14. Like 14. Yeah. I definitely got from when I was 14.
And let me tell you about those songs. Let me tell you about them songs. Those songs are gold. Because those were when you weren't thinking too hard. You had no... you weren't influenced or steered by what some sound engineer said about how your frequency could be... da-da-da-da-da. You're just raw.
Do you know what? Yeah, I don't know how... If I was, though. I've always been on this thing, you know? Like as a kid that's just like it's serious. It's a serious business. It's not a joke. What you think? You think I'm gonna have fun? I've got a studio. Like as in, so I'm like, I don't know. There was always a lot of thinking going into it. But what I would say is when I do listen back to those stuff, in terms of melodies, I think I've always had that still. Like the melodies. So there's so much stuff that like I've got saved because I'm like, I want to go and revamp you.
Were you using auto-tune back then? Were you versed in auto-tune and all the business? I can't imagine you were you were flunking on like the execution.
No, when I was recording, like they were still put auto-tune on the record. They're still clean. When I was recording at studio, when I was younger, it was still a professional studio. It was still like everything done professionally. Once it was being done professionally, it was being done professionally.
I know like.
I've got stuff where I was recording myself, so it sounds how it sounds as well.
I see. What's your batting average? What do you reckon your batting average? If you were to put all of your tunes all into one stock and you could look at them all and be like, yeah, that's a hit. What do you reckon your batting average per 10 tunes are?
To make a hit?
Yeah. Even now. What's the batting average?
Depends on what you're saying. Because we do need to clarify that. Depends on what you're saying as a hit. Are you saying a hit as in a top 10 record? Or are you saying a hit as in a good song? As in, okay, that song levels up to take it to them gold, etc., etc. Are you saying a personal thing?
That one. Not a personal thing. We're going to a personal thing in a minute, but more so the ones that are, that's EP worthy, that's label worthy, let's get this cooking. Doesn't matter if it goes to number one, but you know, I know this is just another day, right? Like 10 out of 10, right?
No, I was saying 10.
Come on.
Ripped up. Do you know what? Yeah, I genuinely don't think it's a 10. I feel like, like I said to you, the difference between asking about 10 top 10 record or da-da-da-da-da, but... So say, hey girl, go write a good song. I can write a good song. I'm not gonna write a shit song. Facts. I'm gonna write a great song. No cap.
No games. The podcast has got lit right now. Where is that round of applause button, the foghorn button, and you need it? Come on. Yeah. So I'll add it in. I'll add it in now.
Anyway. Six.
What about from an emotional point of view? Like when you're sitting there and you're like, yo, like I'm or going through something, or I know a friend who's going, yeah, that's a point. Is it a friend that's going through something? I mean, those are normally the best ones to kind of write like a story, right?
True. I feel like when people say that their friends are going through something, I'm giving out the secrets. Artists, I'm sorry, I'm nearly dummy, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, can you repeat the question, please? Because I got third off from where I was going.
Do you feel like, when you're getting into an emotional place with a tune, how many of them do you feel like are executed in like super emotionally? Like, do you feel really engaged with it to the point where it's like, yo, this is deep and it's hitting all my spots. I'm getting it. I'm in. How many of them do you have?
When I'm writing them about myself or other people?
Either or.
Either or. I don't like to write when I'm in a situation. It's not that I don't really like to write. I go to do, but not majority. Sometimes it's a hit or miss because I don't force things. So like, I'll go to do it and I'll start it, and I'll be like, oh. And when I do that, that's cringe. That means the situation I might just don't want to do. That's just like, oh man, mood just, and I won't. And that's what I won't. And I'll do it after, and it's smashing them. There's quite a lot of those though. In every situation that I go through, I do it. I might not necessarily do it right there and then though. And some, like I said, sometimes I do it right there and then, because there's songs. But still, then I still do it after. I don't feel like directly in a situ. Unless I'm angry and I'm writing the angry song, but one out of pain, yeah. I always do write it, but not in the situ, after.
After the fact. Because it's a bit too raw, isn't it?
Yeah. And it just, you're still a human being. Do you know what I'm going to say? Like, and I think that's what it is. It's like, I think as a writer, when you are writing about yourself, you think of writing a great song. Obviously, I write things not in a certain format of how you think necessarily verse, chorus, bridge, yeah, song, chorus. I just kind of write, but then there is certain things that I do in terms of arrangement to make it a good song. And I feel like when you're in that moment, it's just too much to think about. And then you start getting angry. Sometimes it's like...
Yeah.
What's good is voice notes though, rather than writing, but just maybe I throw it on the beat and I'll just freestyle it and lay down and just sing it, and that's better. And now I listen to that later.
Like just like loads of melody hooks and shit like that.
Melody, yes, melody mostly, and then sometimes there'll be words in it, sometimes it will sound like something. Sometimes I know what I'm gonna say, but because it makes me cringe, I won't say it out of my mouth like that, but I'll go, just in a moment, and then I know 10 minutes later I'm out of the mood and right.
I'm kind of, or have been known to be, one of those kind of artists where I often feel like if you say what you think straight out into a melody that you've only just kind of thought up, not only does it feel cringe because you're like, yo, is that really what I'm feeling? But also,
is that really?
You know that feeling of,
it's
like,
true though.
I'm naked. You know what I mean?
So you do on, yeah. You understand? Yeah, literally. No, on the head. That's what it is. It's fuck yeah. The feeling of feeling naked.
I think the other thing as well is you taint the other ideas because you've already just put like a load of words on a thing. It's like,
yeah, that's why I kind of like to start with melodies a lot of the time, because that's what you're right, you kind of, yeah.
I feel that. And then you got a producer in the room that turns around and says, I love that, and you're just like, no, I ain't finished yet.
Oh my gosh, it's true. You're really hearing it. It's true. I love that.
That shit's the worst ever. Because you walk away feeling like you've kind of been stolen, and you're like, I'm going to have to sleep on this one. I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, it is. But I thought, why do you have to buy him?
Yeah. It's not your business anyway.
No, but I like to collaborate. You know? To know me, I think because I've kind of been doing this for so long, if I kind of clock, that I need to be in my own little zone. Like I said, you know, there's always a little safe haven. You step outside or da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And I think producers understand, as creators as well, you know what I'm going to say, when you say, yo.
Yeah. It's true, man. Yeah, you're right. And like, yeah.
Oh, man, with you.
You have to have these influences for you to excel. You can't just be stuck in this thinking that you're going to have that hit, that thing that extends your reach. It doesn't work.
So true, though, isn't it? Yeah. That's crazy. For real. And I feel like that's why you wouldn't have it if you didn't go through the experiences. So basically, if I don't write about it, after I've gone through it, I'm cheating myself.
Oh my God.
If there's any artists listening, I hope you listened to exactly what we just said. Yeah, you better pick up the pen, babe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think I think in a way, these kind of conversations are affirmations on what it is that is the reason why you started doing it in the first place. You wanted to get further. You wanted to come out and meet people, do things, be spontaneous, not worry too much about what's being said, right?
Yeah.
It's a tough one, but this is the world, isn't it? This is the musical landscape.
Yeah.
Who do you want to collab with? Who's your collaboration idea?
I want to collab with so much people. It's kind of hard. I've always said I wanted to collab with Rech. I'm really waiting for my Rech collab. I want that collab to be absolutely epic. I'm calm with sitting. I'm waiting for it. I just want it to be amazing when it's done. I want to collab with Bodgy Banton. That's like of all time.
Childhood hero.
Come on. I want to collab with... I feel like I want to know how me and Queen B's song is going to sound. I mean, family, considering that I watched her my whole life, Beyonce.
yeah, that's by law. You know who I thought you'd be really cool to collab with someone like MIA. Do you know what I mean? MIA. Somebody else.
We're on something together.
You on something together?
You mean MIA as in the girl MIA?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's in the Beam and Sham. Wait, what song is it? The Forgive Me, God.
Hold on, wait. Right.
This kid, Jimmy Omo.
You did a tune with MIA?
No, we're on the record. She's on something to do with the record. Am I bugging? Nah, don't tell me that. I'm not bugging you, man. Can't you type it out right now? Let me get the laptop. Hold
on. Go get it.
Hold on a minute. Because... if someone watching, they're probably thinking, how would she not know this?
Go and get it in.
But I feel like, yeah, and you got Columbia. My one just locked off itself. But continue.
Yeah, I just think from a diversity point of view, because you know, you've got the Jamaican route, you've got the London thing, you're way current in the field of like that 808 trappy feel. And quite westernized, you know what I mean? Like American hip hop esque. And these three elements, you know, for someone like MIA who appeals to a whole different, you know, fruit bowl of people, I just think that would be super sick because she does her thing in a unique way. And you do, anyway, I'm just elaborating. You know what I'm saying though?
No. Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to figure out what, because it is, it's on the record of Cadenza, MIA, Guilty Beats, Up in Her. Maybe it was to do the beat.
Yeah, maybe.
What am I talking about? Are we talking about the same thing?
Paper Planes. You talking about that tune, Paper Planes? Hey, I tell you what, comments down below, people. Tell us what you're saying. Come on, we're nearly there.
Because I don't know if I'm getting confused. Look, is this, have you had this record?
Yeah. What is that?
Cadenza, MIA, Guilty Beats, Up in Her, Beam Sham, and Altarani, the remix. But I'm saying, now I'm realizing something. You're putting me on because I thought this was a producer. I thought she was a producer.
Nah, she's well, I think she does do her own beats from here and there. You know, she delivers a written score for a producer to get involved with. But that's my assumption. But
I've got some research to do. Don't worry. And everybody listening as well, after I'm going to check. I've got the search up now as well. Because that's where I heard, you know, me from. Because I'm like, hold on, but I've seen something like that. We're talking about producing.
You're really right at stuff. You'll really rate her stuff. It's a trip. It's a fucking trip.
You got best friend of MIA.
Yeah, MIA. All day. So what's the future, girl? What's the plan? So the EP?
The EP is coming. The EP is coming. Alakai Harley is going to announce the EP.
Come on, girl.
No, I am. The EP's coming this year, though. The Big Bad EP is coming this year. Honestly, I'm so excited. I'm so proud of it. Big up everybody that's a part of it. And I can't wait to give you guys and hear it. The Red Room intro. The Red Room intro, Yard Gal in a Britain by Alakai Harley.
Yo, I can't wait. is there any standout things that we should be checking out for on this particular venture?
With the EP?
Yeah, like any features, any special productions, anything?
Yeah, I've got Tony Mataron on there. I'm going to give you one other name. I've got Nadia Rose on there.
Come on, Nadia Rose. Come on. OG, man. From
time, I've known for, this is basically family, okay? And I'm not going to give you that one eggs. And the EP will be available very soon for pre-order.
Yo, Nadia Rose is lyrically... Yeah,
phenomenal. Agyal. Good as Agyal.
I can already hear it working. That's fire. Man, I mean, there's just so much more we could talk about, but I really, really, really appreciate you jumping on it.
Aw, thank you for having me. Such a vibe.
Let's do more.
Yeah, I'm on it.
Simple as that. I'm going to follow you on Instagram.
Please do, and I'll shout for you back, my love.
Yeah, holler that. anything else you'd like to add? Any shout-outs you'd like to give, girl?
I want to big up my good buddy, mom, Veronica Vanja. Big up yourself, whichever part today. I want to pick up my best friend. Pick up Rush, my girl manager. Pick up my manager on the bar cupboard. Pick up all my hot shots worldwide, locked in and not locked in. Love you guys. And big up you. Big up you. Big up you, Keller.
Yeah, come on. Always a pleasure, a ball of energy, man. And I'm loving it. Good, honest, positive, productive.
Thank you.
Come on.
Thank you so much, man. God bless.
Thank you.
And guys, look out for the EP coming soon.
Yeah, come on. Get ready. Get the bunts out. Come on. Get it streaming, you know. 24 hours if you can. Repeat. I repeat. Do not sleep on this repeat. We're out like it was out of fashion. Killer Keller Podcast. Don't forget to share. The Kai Harley. Big up, my girl. Take care.
Take care, my lovely. Bye-bye.